Good evening. Let's ask the Lord for His help. I wanted to start by asking a question tonight. Who can tell me how they know that the Lord is for them? Give me a verse that you know the Lord is for you. We're going to talk tonight about choices. And in order to have a foundation for that, I need a verse from somebody, anybody, that you know the Lord is for you. What's your verse? John 3:16. That's a good verse. Does anybody? I hadn't thought of that one. Does anybody have another one?
Joshua 1:9.
Okay, let's look at that one. Joshua 1:9.
Joshua 1:5.
Sorry. There shall not a man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Now, as we go through this life, we have a lot of choices, okay? We live in a country that gives us the ability to choose almost anything. We don't live in a communist country where you get one choice. This is what you're going to do today. And it gives us tremendous freedom, but it gives us tremendous responsibility. There's another couple verses that I thought of. In John 10:10, the Lord Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly." The Lord wants to bless us. Our dear brother just had a meeting and he talked about Jacob. And Jacob spent his whole life fighting and scrambling and just thrashing away. And the Lord wanted to give him more than he ever desired. His whole life. He worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked. And then at the end of his life, when he was all done, you can see him worshiping on his staff. He finally just accepts what God has for him. We had a brother, Michelle Payette, come through Walla Walla, and one of the meetings that he presented, he just shared, the Christian life is basically just accepting what God wants to give us. He wants to bless us. And I'm not here preaching a prosperity gospel. Don't misunderstand me. It's about spiritual blessings. It's about love and joy and peace. Yes, He's going to take care of our physical needs, our material needs, but that's not the extent of it. Okay? And we want to talk about choices, and we got to start with the understanding that God is for us. So if we turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse number 6, we're going to read this verse. And I believe our brother, Ted, just read this verse. Or quoted it anyway. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now we're all going to make choices. Every single person in this room is going to make choices. We're going to make choices tonight. We're going to make choices tomorrow. We're going to make choices as to a career field. We're going to make choices. You're going to make choices. I already made my choice for marriage. I did good. But some of you, you know, hopefully it's not good for man to be alone. The Lord knows. I'm not trying to push anybody, but it's good. You can see marriage does good for people. It's a good thing. So I just wanted to throw that in there. But we're all going to make choices. Well, you know what? There's moral gravity. If I take something in my hand and I drop it, what's going to happen to it? Is it going to float up to the ceiling? If it's not a helium balloon, anything that's normal. Right? If I have something in my hand and I drop it, what's going to happen to it? It's going to hit the floor. If I do that 10 times in a row, what's going to happen 10 times in a row? It's going to hit the floor. Well, there's moral gravity too. If we do things that please the Lord, we're going to be blessed. Obedience leads to blessing. Just like there's gravity in this room, there's moral gravity. Obedience leads to blessing. So let's look at some verses as we consider what things are before you. As you guys consider the things, the decisions that are before you, I want you to think about these things every time you have a decision. Have these things go through your mind. So let's turn to the book of Proverbs. If I could just convey to you the love of the Lord Jesus and how He wants to bless your soul. If you guys could get a hold of that, I've done my job. Because and I forget who quoted it, Brother Hayhoe or somebody, he said, every single sin, saint or sinner alike, comes down, when you boil it down, and I'm not even quoting this right, it's a doubt in the heart of man about the goodness of God. God wants to bless us. He wants to bless us. You never read where God says, this isn't going to work. This, you know, your life is a wreck. And there's times, like our brother just shared, where he says, you're going to be number two. Okay, I'll be number two. That's what you want me to do. You're the boss. Maybe he's said to me, you're going to be number three. Okay, that's the best for me. I'll be number three. But there's blessing intended for us. So let's read here in Proverbs chapter 3. It says, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now let me ask you this. What does it mean to trust in the Lord with all your heart? What does that mean? Somebody take a stab at it. Help me out. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. No reserve. Complete confidence. We say that our eternity is in God's hands. And we can't see eternity. We can't see tomorrow. If I quit breathing, I can't see that. I can't see my soul. And I say, I have complete confidence in Him. And then I get up in the morning and I worry about how I'm going to feed my family tomorrow. Really? Is that trust? With all my heart? That's not trust with all my heart. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm trying to encourage us and exhort us that we would have confidence in the Lord. And that's not presumption. It's confidence. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. We were talking at supper about shortcuts. There's no shortcuts in the path the Lord has for us. There's people in business and they figured out a way, you know, they build this building and they said, you know what? We could save a lot of money if we didn't put all the cement in this one pillar. No one will ever notice. There's no shortcuts. Nobody may find that out. They may get away with that today, but nobody gets away with anything. It's going to come out. Maybe there's going to be an earthquake and the building collapses and it wouldn't. I don't know. But what goes around comes around. Nobody gets away with anything. That's the government of God. It's a positive thing and it's a negative thing. Hopefully we'll get into that a little bit more. Lean not unto thine own understanding. There's no shortcuts and you don't know the way. Does everybody in here know exactly what they're going to do in 5 years? Raise your hand if you do, because I'm going to ask you what I'm going to be doing. You know what you're doing in 5 years. I don't know. I tell my kids, you know what? You need to pay attention to every opportunity you have to learn something because you don't know what's coming up. You need to have everything you can learn in your all the tools you can in your toolbox because you don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's down the path. We don't know. We can't know. But you know what? I'll tell you this. There's somebody who already knows the end from the beginning and he loves you and he wants to bless you and he wants you to have a blessed life in this scene. And he paid tremendously to provide that for you. Lean not unto your own understanding. And then it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know what? There's a verse that says, they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hold on. That's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let me get this right. Yea, in all 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And I'm telling you this, you guys, and I just want you to just accept this right now. If you want to get along with everybody and look perfectly the same and never suffer reproach, you're already lost. You can't do it. It's impossible. If you're going to be a Christian, people are going to make fun of you. And we may not face persecution in this world like they do other places. Other places we did this, we would be in fear of our lives. There are places they go and they go to sing praises in the woods so that if somebody comes, they can just all real quick run away. For reals. We need to be thankful. We need to be grateful for what we have. But you know what? The people that follow right with the Lord Jesus are safe. The people who get in really big trouble are the people who follow the Lord and catch this afar off. When did Peter get in trouble? When did he deny the Lord? It wasn't when he was with the Lord. It was when he was following him afar off. And he was there and he was warming himself and he was trying to fit in with the people that were around him. You know what, folks? We don't fit in. And that's okay. It's okay. Would you rather be pleasing to the Lord or to these other people that are around you? You got to make that decision. Once you make that decision, everything else is easy. I'm going to be here for the Lord Jesus. And I don't intentionally go around offending people. Don't misunderstand me. The scripture has balance in it. But I'm going to live for the Lord. And if somebody doesn't like it, I mean, that, you know, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you, but I'm here for the Lord. He bought me. He owns me. I'm His. And if we decide that, it makes all the rest of life easier. So we have trust in the Lord with all of our heart. We need to not lean unto our own understanding. So how are we going to make decisions if we don't know the answer? Somebody guess. Pray and read His Word. Absolutely. Thank you very much. And we can ask someone who's older too. Hey, what do you think about this? We should never take somebody else's word above the Lord's. Always, 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 always take what God has told us. Even if 10 people tell us, or 15 people, or 100 people say, you should do this. If the Lord tells you not to do it, don't do it. But we need outside input. So we're going to trust, we're going to have confidence in Him. We're not going to lean into our own understanding. And we're going to acknowledge Him. Them that honor me, them I will honor. For reals. If we put Him first, He's going to make it up. The next verse we're going to go to, the next verses are in Matthew 6. And there's a brother in our assembly. And he went to an older brother than him, who's now passed off the scene. And he sold insurance. So we're in Matthew 6:33. And he said, I sell insurance. And the place that I usually sell insurance is in people's houses. And I do it on the evenings. And he said to his older brother, he said, what would you think if I missed a meeting in order to sell insurance? And that old wise brother told him, he said, you put the Lord first and He'll make it up to you. You put the Lord first and He'll make it up to you. And that man had an amazing insurance practice. And he told me himself, he said, you know what, Matt, I cannot explain how good an insurance salesman I have been. It doesn't make sense to the world. To the people that were his competitors or associates, they said, for the amount of work that you do, you need to have this much support staff. He never had that support staff. You put the Lord first and He'll make it up to you. So here we are in Matthew 6:33. And he says, okay, for the context that the disciples are asking him, what are we going to wear? In our day, we would say, what am I going to drive? Where am I going to live? How am I going to feed my family? These are all real things. Does the Lord care? Does He care what I do? What do you guys think? Do you think He cares? Does He really care? You better believe He does. And you know what? He cares so much that He cares. He takes time to hear, to listen to me about the little details. Now, if you guys were in this room and every single one of you, every time you had a problem, you said, you raised your hand and you said, Matt, do you think I would go crazy? I would go crazy. You know what? The Lord loves to hear us. I pray. I say, okay, Lord, and I pray in the morning and then I go to work. I say, Lord, I don't know how to handle this. I don't know what to do. Help me out. And I think, is He tired of that? No, He loves to hear that. He loves to hear that. Loves to hear it. So He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So as you face a decision, where you're going to go, what you're going to do, whatever decision you face in your life, put the kingdom of God first. Now let me tell you guys this. You can have everything you want in life, but you got to have it in the right order. You guys have all seen those jars. People have a Sunday school meeting and they pour in whatever, the sand, and then they try and put the rocks in on the top. Have you guys ever seen that? You know what I'm talking about? If you put the important things in first, if you honor the Lord, you put Him first, everything else is going to fit in there. And I used to get all overrun. I'm very hard-driven, type A personality But you know what? I realize, you know what? The Lord is not asking me to do more than He's giving me the ability to accomplish. If I'm overrun, I'm doing something I'm not supposed to do. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What am I here for? And that cleared everything up. Put Him first. Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. Does that mean I get to go sit at the pool? I'm done. Lord, I'm totally counting on you. What do you think? No way. That's not how it works. Whatever we plant, we're going to harvest. Whatever that is. And there's people, there's believers that plant a bumper crop. And guess what? They harvest a bumper crop. There's believers that plant a little teeny tiny crop. Does that mean the Lord loves them less? No possible way. But they harvest a littler crop. That's the government of God. The Lord loves us. He wants to take care of us. Seek ye first. So we want to have complete confidence in Him. We want to trust Him. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. I'm going to go really fast. I shouldn't go really fast. Maybe you guys would let me go over just a couple minutes, because I wanted to share with you. We talked, Vern asked a really good question. How do we keep our lives excited? How do we keep on fire for the Lord? So let's just go over this in Romans, and then maybe I'll just take a minute. Maybe you guys will be gracious to me and give me an extra couple minutes. I get in a hurry. I screw stuff up. Okay, here we go. Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, who in here does not know that they were bought by the blood of Christ? Does everybody agree that you were bought by the blood of Christ? Let me ask you it this way. What do you owe the Lord? What do you owe Him? Your life. Exactly. Thank you. He gave everything for us. He says right here, that is your reasonable service. You know what the problem with a living sacrifice is? It tends to squirm off the altar. Seriously. It's easy to talk about this. It is. Oh, this is great. Way to go. Yeah, fantastic. Guess what? Monday comes and we have the opportunity to tell a lie. And I'm going to tell you guys this right now. You are becoming, this sounds goofy, but it's true. You are becoming the person you will one day be. If you tell lies, you're a liar. If you steal anything, it doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter how much it's worth, you're a thief. Sorry, I had to think about that. It doesn't mean you can't repent and change, but that's what you are. That's not what the Lord wants of us. Now let's read on here in verse 2. It says, be ye not conformed to this world. What does the world want of you? The world wants to take you and use you and throw you away. Satan is a terrible taskmaster. If you give him the chance, if you give Satan the chance, he will use you and use you up and throw you away. The Lord Jesus didn't do that. He came and He said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He got up from the table. He said, greater love hath no man than this, and a man give his life for his friends. And where did He go? Did He go to the pool? No. He went to the cross for you and for me because He loved us. The world wants to smash us down. It says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of the three wills of God. Raise your hand if you have. That's okay if you haven't. I went to school with this man, and he said, God has three wills, and they're right here in this verse. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And he said, you can choose. You can either have God's good will, His acceptable will, or His perfect will. And I said, you are killing me. I don't even want to hear this. Don't even tell me you don't want God's best in your life. That's what I told him. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to know. If you want your will more than you want what God wants for you, don't even tell me. Don't even go there, because I don't even want to know. And I pray, it is my prayer, that there isn't a person in this room tonight that would want their own will more than God's will for you. As for God, His way is perfect. It couldn't even be improved by 5 minutes. He wants to bless you. Do you want that blessing? When we go through life, we need to ask. It says in James, ask the Lord and He'll give us wisdom. We say, Lord, do you want me to do this? Do you guys believe that He'll answer? Do you believe me? He will answer you. On the way to this conference, the Lord told me, you know what, Matt? You might want to have something to share to the young people. And I get here and Brother Caleb says, he writes on my card, hey, would you have a little talk to the young people? Yeah, that'd be fine. One time I went to Tri-Cities, where Aaron's from, my dear beloved brother Aaron. And just like I'm talking to you right now, the Lord told me, if they offer you the gospel, don't take it. That's kind of strange. The brother comes up and he says, Matt, would you like to have the gospel? And I said, well, I'd love to have the gospel, but actually, I don't feel free to take it. Thank you very much. I appreciate you asking. And guess what? Andy Clausen was there. And they gave the gospel meeting to Andy Clausen. That was a wonderful gospel meeting, and I would have missed it if I would have taken my will instead of his. And if you guys really want his will, you really say, Lord, I want what you want, he will give it to you. He will give you what he wants, and it'll be the best, the very best. I promise you. I've got his word in it. Got his word on it. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if you're afraid, if you say, oh, he's going to give me junk, then you have a problem. Because your heart is not confident in his goodness. There's a story about a man. I'm out of time. I'm sorry, guys. Be patient with me. There's a man who had 17 kids. He fed a family of 19 people without a salary. And they came up on a time they needed some play equipment because the kids needed some play equipment. And they didn't have any. So they were going to go to the store and it was like $100. They could buy this Kmart set and it was no good and it was just going to break right away. And they said, well, what do you want to do? And he really wanted to do something for his wife. Gentlemen, listen to your wives. That's good advice. That doesn't mean you just always do everything they say, but listen to them. Come on. Okay. So they prayed about it and they get a phone call. And this other couple says, hey, our kids are all grown up. We have this really nice swing set. Would you like to buy it? Well, yeah, how much is it? Well, I forget the dollar amounts, but it was less than what they were going to buy that junky new set for. And here was a beautiful Costco-like swing set with a slide and everything. Do you believe that God wants your best? He wants to bless you. He loves you. Okay, really quick. Turn to 2 Corinthians Chapter 4. I want to tell you how we can always stay. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. How we can always stay being on fire. And I don't even remember who told me this. I wrote it down, but I didn't write who. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16. For which cause we faint not. And he's talked in here about being an empty vessel, being a broken vessel. We've got all these things going on. Troubled on every side, not distressed, we're perplexed, not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, not destroyed. So he goes on and he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The first thing is verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day, and that's daily communion. How much do you think my wife would love me if I never talked to her? I tell her every single day. I'll bet I tell her 10 times a day I love her. Maybe more than that. The guy that used to work with me said, Matt, you can't even hang up the phone until you told her I love you 3 times. I said, really? He said, every time. Come on, buddy. You know what, guys? Tell your wife when you get married. Tell her you love her. Come on. It's not going to hurt you and it's good for her. But if you never talk to him, if I never saw my wife, how much affection do you think she would have for me? She said, well, you know, you pay the bills. Thanks, buddy. She loves me. I am so blessed. We need to have that daily communion. And you might say, and we get that, our brother shared, we get that by reading and praying. Okay? And some people say, well, I don't get anything out of it. I get that. But it'll change you anyway. Moses went and he was in the Lord's presence and he was different. If you spend time with the Lord, you will be different. Other people will know. You won't even notice. But they will notice because you will be different. When we are in God's presence, it changes us. It makes us holy every time. You will be different if you spend time with the Lord every day. It doesn't have to be an hour, but it has to be long enough for you to still your heart. Be still and know that I am God. You need to pray, mentioning people, and then you need to ask, you need to give thanks, and then you need to ask for wisdom for whatever you need. It's okay to ask Him. He's tough. He made the world. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. So daily communion, every single day. Every single day. And I'll tell you what, guys, honestly, I go along and I'll have a day I miss. And maybe I miss 2 days. And I have a choice. I know I'm out of communion. I know I'm missing that. I have a choice. Do I want that walk with the Lord, or do I just want to be in a hurry the next day? You're not going to grow sleeping on your Bible. You have to open it and read it. And I would encourage you, pick a subject. Learn about all the places it talks about angels. Learn about the blood of Christ. Write notes. Study it. It's a book that you can study and know more of Christ. It's a beautiful thing. So that's the first thing, is daily communion. The second thing is the shield of faith. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And you guys may not know this, but life is going to throw you some curveballs. And I know when I was your age, everything was peachy. I was there. I was all over it. Let me tell you, sometimes life knocks you down so hard you can't get up. I've been there. The Lord Jesus, He picked me up and He carried me along. I said, Lord, I can't go on. I cannot go on. I can't handle this for one more minute. And nothing changed. He just picked me up and carried me. Blessed be His name. And it says right here that our light affliction, which is but for a moment. You know what? Whatever we pass through, it's just for a moment. It's just for time. It works in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Right on the other side. It's just like right on the other side of that wall is eternity. It seems to you guys, I know, I was just in your seats about 3 or 4 days ago. It seems like life is forever. And it is in a number of years. But when you have an eternal perspective, it's gone just like that. Just like that, it's gone. It's over. You're an old man. You're an old woman. What did I do with my life? And He says here, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. We got to have a vision of glory. Now, let me just close with this. And I ran over. I'm sorry. Let me see if I got this right. December 7, 1941, Pearl Harbor was attacked by the Empire of Japan. Okay? A lot of people have been to Pearl Harbor. Everybody knows about it. They mobilized the U.S. Armed Forces and they'd already started the Lend-Lease program with Great Britain, okay? But they sent U.S. troops, U.S. GIs. And I will say this. If you would have gone, I don't know exactly, it took months, I'm sure, but if you would have gone and you would have knocked on a pup tent or you're in a foxhole in Europe and you woke up one of the GIs and you said, what are you doing here? He had one response. We're going to Berlin. If you went down the path and you said to this GI, what are you doing here? I'm going to Berlin. You go find a machine gunner. What are you doing? I'm going to Berlin. You ask an airplane mechanic, what are we doing here? We're going to Berlin. Every single person in the European theater knew what they were doing. You talk about the Marine Corps that fought in the islands. You ask them, what are you doing here? We're going to Japan. We're going to Tokyo. You ask the cook in the camp, what are you doing here? We're going to Tokyo. We're going to Tokyo, Japan. Every single person knew what they were doing. The same amount of money as a gross domestic product, the same amount of time was fought on the war and terror, and how much got done? Zero. You ask them, what are you doing here? I'm here for 302 more days, and I'm out of here. What are you doing here? I'm here for 309 more days, and I'm out of here. Where's the vision? You guys, there's a vision the Lord wants you to catch that we're here for His glory. Why am I here? I'm not here to sit by the pool. There's nothing wrong with going to the pool. Sorry. I like to swim. We had fun at the pool. But what I'm saying is we have a purpose. Every single one of us has a purpose. And you can't say, I'm going to serve the Lord when I retire. It doesn't work that way. You'll never get there. You'll never do it. You got to do it now. You got to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'm going to be whatever you want me to be. You steer me, you use me, and He'll use you. I guarantee it. It's fun, it's exciting, it's the most crazy feeling in the whole world, and it's wonderful. And there's eternal glory. We got to have a vision beyond the scene. We're not just here to make a bunch of money. It's all going to burn. We're not here to own a bunch of stuff. It's all going to burn. The only thing we take out of here is people. Your friends, your family, your children. That's it. The Lord help us. Let's close in prayer.